This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with David Commande, Artistic Director and Conductor of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. He's here to tell us more about their New Year's greeting concert happening this Saturday, entitled A Tribute to Ella. David, welcome back to Out and About.
Great to be here.
So this is exciting. Tell us more about why you wanted to have a tribute to the wonderful Ella Fitzgerald.
Well, wonderful is certainly true. Programs like this come together out of circumstances. In this case, the circumstances combined. I was interested in exploring some variation on the theme that we have. Our New Year's greeting concerts are always joyful, and they're a pretty strong outreach to people. They're very rarely strictly classical, and we've had a lot of, obviously, with Broadway and Vienna. But I was thinking, well, 10th season, do we want to mix it up a little bit? And, of course, tended toward jazz. And then a good friend of mine who works with our two singers and has this concept of the concert, of the program, and I were talking, and it really attracted me. And as is also not uncommon, I'm thinking back to when we did the country legends and we went into the country music genre. The whole preparation for this concert has so deepened and expanded the horizon of my appreciation for Ella herself, the individual singer, artist, I should say, that I love this program more and more and more and more the closer I get to it.
Can you talk a little bit about what it is that makes Ella Fitzgerald such an important figure in the history of jazz and the history of music, in relation especially to some of her contemporaries, say compared to a Louis Armstrong, let's say?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Louis, because she collaborated quite a bit with Louis as a jazzer and as singers both. And the great musicians of her lifetime all wanted to perform with her. And running from Duke Ellington to Frank Sinatra, you had a wide range there. Ella, born in 1917, had a pretty rough upbringing, mom bringing her up, and she got into a little bit of trouble into her teens and so forth. But then early on, she had a chance to be heard through some talent shows. Everybody was surprised. Apparently, she was a pretty rough package, kind of disheveled was the adjective people used for her when she was really young. But she caught the ear early on of Chick Webb, who invited her to, try her out at a run out to Yale University. And the audience loved her, and that was the beginning. And if you look up A Tisket, A Tasket, which was her first big hit, and if you find that charming video that they made on the bus with this very young Ella singing this lyric, I love it for, first of all, the youth and the special quality here in her voice. But already then you got the sense, here's a personality. Just that giggle on the one line about Cerise, the color Cerise, you knew this was someone with spontaneous joy and huge personality. And so it's that joy, that spontaneity, and that personality that I think drove the amazing career. Think about it. 14 Grammy Awards in her lifetime, over 200 albums, 40 million of them sold. It's an amazing record.
You're bringing in two guest artists for the first time to our area, which we always appreciate when you bring in these fabulous new guest artists, who are helping to bring to life Ella's legacy. No small feat. Who are these lovely ladies, and can you tell us more about them?
Well, Kapathia Jenkins and Aisha Dahas are our two guests, and both of them have very strong careers out of New York. They've been appearing on Broadway. Kapathia is acting, and Aisha is also acting and doing voiceover work and commercials, and they have huge gifts. And I was asked recently, well, you know, how does that translate into what Ella was about, and is it going to be exactly like Ella? And I said, man, of course not. I mean, Ella wasn't about being Ella in every single performance. The performances all varied, but the spirit, the quality, the jazz instincts, the musicality, and the voices, you know, in their own ways, they're bringing that. And the concept is that you kind of need almost more than one person to try and cover the scope that was Ella's domain.
So when you're looking for a soloist or two soloists to do a tribute concert to Ella Fitzgerald, what are you looking for in those individuals? Are you looking for a vocal type? Are you looking for a spirit and an attitude? How do you go about casting someone in that sense?
Well, yes, you look for the instrument, the chops, the instrument of the voice, of course, and the chops and the jazz instinct, the musicality, and you look for the personality, and they're bringing all of that in rich abundance. Capethia and Aisha. And, you know, as in terms of how you go looking, you're out there, but you also have friends whose ears you trust. And we're lucky. These are two wonderful, wonderful performers.
Ella Fitzgerald was really known for putting her mark in the world of scat singing. Mm-hmm. And in doing so very effortlessly, at least it sounds like to one's ears, it's very effortless when you listen to her. Let's though unpack how it works to combine scat singing with an orchestra.
Well, the voice soars anyway, right? So even when you're following the lyric, the voice is being projected over the orchestra. The miracle of a great jazz performer of any kind, even just a straight vocalist not involved with scat, has to do with their independence from the length, height, width, the dimensions, the exactitude of the way it's put down on the page. Even a straight instrumentalist, he'll see a pair of eighth notes and the rhythm is not performed quite the way it's, you know, on the page, it's straight. And when a jazz singer reads those two eighth notes or there's 16 eighth notes, they come out different. So that's the jazz interpretation. When it comes to scat, first of all, I think the effortlessness has to do with the artistry, because the greatest artists do give the impression of total ease and spontaneity. And, of course, we hear How High the Moon, and five performances by Ella would have been each of them unique. So in front of an orchestra, even a jazz combo, we lay down a pulse and a harmonic structure, and the vocal line, lyric or scat, soars, plays around with, has its meaning in a way being with and against and over that.
David, you and I over the years have often talked about your fondness for chamber music because of the give and take between all of the performers. It sounds like by bringing an element of improvisation, of scat, of jazz, it gives you an opportunity to do a little bit of that in an orchestral setting where you're interacting with the soloist, they're interacting with the orchestra, and everything is sort of being cooked in real time on the stage.
That's perceptive, and that, of course, is part of the reason I'm so loving this concert before it happens. There is the unknown. And also, this is a chance for me to live and make music in a realm that's not the center lane of my original training. I mean, straight out, go to Vienna not to study jazz. But I always loved American music. I always loved jazz. And first cousin of mine was the bassist of a jazz bassist, and the Bill Evans Trio. I mean, this is a man of great fame. And so I come by it honestly, and I love having a chance to make some jazz.
And it's interesting that within those two genres, the world of jazz and the world of classical music, The concept of musical improvisation is respected and used in both of those worlds, whether it be, the Joshua Bells of this world who still improvise their cadenzas in concertos, or the Ella Fitzgerald-esque type of song stresses who will do the same thing through scat. Is it helpful for you to be able to view both of those worlds from a top-down perspective and compare them and contrast them?
Well, the interesting thing to me about improvisation is that the classical world doesn't get enough credit for the improvisatory nature, even of classical performance. So you can say, well, wait a minute, you're playing all the rhythms exactly, and the pitches are, it's all written down. What is improvisatory? But we all know that any one of us can say the very same sentence many ways, even ourselves, right, in our own voice. And a violin concerto phrase, a single phrase, can sound so different from a different performer. And that's not defined as improvisation, yet the individuality is there. Then, however, you look at a lyric Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. These lyrics, by the way, the lyrics to me in the American Songbook are an amazing, here I am a musician, but the beauty of the English, the poetry and how it works and how musical it is, those are also the unsung, sorry for that, heroes of the teams like Rodgers and Hart, who came up with this. I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. I mean, couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. And when you listen to Ella sing it, and she's playing around with that and the tune, because the melody is never the same way. Now there you're talking amazing magic. There was nobody like Ella. There was. Never.
And your community partner for this performance is an organization called Washington Helps Its People. They're a group that helps feed people in need in that community. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
They came into being back during one of the Caterpillar strikes when some neighbors really needed a little bit of help. And Washingtonians got together and started creating some Meals on Wheels. And that evolved into what's now a food pantry for people living in Washington who need it. And it's like a little grocery store, and they can come in twice a month and more or less shop at the food pantry, and it helps, and it's wonderful. And being there and seeing how that all works, I'm full of admiration for these folks.
David Commande joined us to talk about the Heartland Festival Orchestra's first concert of 2019. It's called New Year's Greeting, a tribute to Ella. The performance is tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. David, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. And get your tickets. They're kind of going.
Also this weekend, Cornstalk Theater is opening their production of Out of Sight, Out of Murder. A mystery writer stays in a haunted mansion and finds his own characters have come to life, and suddenly he's in the middle of a murder plot. Performances begin tonight and continue through next Sunday at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse in Upper Bradley Park.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking to local arts leaders and performers.
You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.